Hey, we are continuing in our series. Believe it or not, we're winding down. We only got a few more weeks left of this, although it's going to extend into October because we do have Man Camp coming up in a couple weeks. But believe it or not, we're winding down this Foundations series. And if you're new with us or if you're not familiar with what we've been talking about over these last few months, really what we're trying to do is kind of get everyone on the same playing field, the same level footing as we're entering into this new season at Mountain Valley Chapel with a new pastor and things. The mission and everything that God has called us to do is the same. That hasn't changed since the founding of the church back in the first century. But as churches and people grow and develop and things change, seasons happen, people move, those kind of things. Again, the mission stays the same, but how you accomplish the mission might change a little bit. And so being here and praying and asking God, God, what is your heart? What is your vision for this church? God, what is your heart and this vision for this valley? And I'm convinced it's for all of us to be the people that Jesus has called and created us to be. And again, I'm not saying that we have not been, but I think God wants to remind us exactly who he's called us to be. And who he's called us to be is his follower. First and foremost, more than anything else, more than sharing the gospel, more than changing the world, he's called us to follow him. And in following him, that means we need to actually do what he says. And so we've been in this series talking about foundations, and we're exploring and looking at some of the foundational things that Jesus has called us to do and be as his followers. And as you know, if you've been with us, Jesus has had a thing or two to say about foundations. And we've been talking about how in Matthew 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, those who hear these words of mine and act on them, they are a wise man who builds his house on a solid foundation. Of course, he goes on to say that when the storms come, the house stands because it is built on the rock. And again, he's given us a mission to do. He's given us marching orders, which is to make disciples. We are to follow him and make disciples. That is, we overcomplicate the Christian life, really. We overcomplicate it. The Christian life is simple. We trust in Jesus, we follow Jesus, and we do what he says. And we make disciples, and we keep multiplying this. We just keep making more and more Christ followers. And again, at the end of the Great Commission, he says, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. This is what discipleship is about. Discipleship is not so much about learning things, although there's an element of learning. We must learn what Christ commanded us to do. But more than that, it's taking what we've learned and then teaching others to do the same. That is what discipleship is. Discipleship is not just get them saved, give them a pamphlet, and just good luck, now you're a Christ follower. We need to teach others to observe all that Christ has commanded us. And so we've been talking a little bit about that, some foundational things that Christ has commanded us to do. And so we've been walking through these 10 things. Now, we could have 50 things if we really wanted to. I think 50 is a lot. Two is almost too much sometimes. But I believe there are 10 things in Scripture that Christ commands every follower of Jesus to do and to teach others to do. And as you've been walking with us through this, you know we've been talking about these first five: surrender, talk, listen, remember, and lay aside. And by doing these things, and I'll talk a little bit more briefly about what these actually are, by doing these things, this has everything to do with the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're wanting to grow in your personal relationship with Christ, these five things will help you grow. But then it begs, what is the other five? And we just started introducing this last week when we talked about the command to give. But the command to give, these commands that Christ gave have everything to do with people. The other part of the great commandment, to love God with all that we have and to love our neighbor as ourself. And by doing these things, by living these out, by making these a part of our lives, and by showing others to do the same, we're fulfilling not only the great commandment to love God with everything and to love people as ourselves, but we're also in the process making disciples. as we show others to do the same. And again, we have been here. We have spent a lot of time talking about how we can grow our own personal relationship with God. And again, starting here where we say, just every day we wake up and say, Lord, I'm yours. The action of surrender is the most important thing that Christ calls us to do. In fact, it's the one thing we have to do to get into the kingdom. Surrender our lives to God. Trust in God. Believe through faith in Christ Jesus. It requires surrender. And then, of course, as we're surrendered to the Lord, we're also speaking to the Lord. We're talking to the Lord. We're praying and having a conversation. I mean, imagine being married and not talking to your spouse. Oh, maybe some of you already do that. But if you want to grow in your relationship with your spouse or with your other people, it requires a conversation. We need to be talking to the Lord. But as we talk to the Lord, we also need to listen to Him. We need to listen to Him. And again, for the married folks, I think you would probably say, I wish my husband would listen more. No? Just my wife? All right. But truthfully, we do need to listen more. In fact, James tells us that we are to be slow to speak and quick to listen. And I believe God is always at work around us. The Bible says He's a God who never sleeps nor slumbers. He's always at work. Always. Now, He took a day off from His work on the seventh day, but did God stop working? God is always at work. And if we would just listen and pause for a moment, He's always at work around us. He's always speaking to us. And if we would just take time to listen, and so we listen to God, again, primarily through His Word, we need to be in this book. We need to be in this book daily because it is the primary way God speaks to us. And of course, we remember His goodness. We remember His faithfulness. And then when God does speak, maybe He speaks things into our lives that He wants us to throw away, to lay aside. And if we're living a surrendered life, we will say, yes, Lord, and we'll lay those things aside and we'll just continue to grow and follow in Him. All of this is what God calls us to do. And again, like I said, last week we talked about this shift, and we're going to be focusing on these next several weeks, how we can love people with all that we have. And we talked about this command to give, and if you were with us last week, know this was not a sermon about money. I didn't stand up here and ask you to write me a bunch of checks. Giving is more than just money. Money is involved, but it's about everything. What do we give? We give everything because Christ gave everything. And so we talked about how our mindsets need to shift a little bit to where this idea of giving, it's simple. We give everything because God gave everything. And whatever it is He's asking us to give, we just give because it doesn't belong to us. It's for His glory. It's for His kingdom. Today we're going to jump down and talk about serving. And I want to be up front that I want to make serving simple. All these things that we're talking about, they should be simple. Again, the Christian life should be simple in the fact that what Christ is asking us to do, they're simple things. Now, they're not always easy to do. It is not easy to surrender. It's not easy to lay aside. Sometimes it's not easy to give. And as we'll talk today, sometimes it's not easy to serve. But it is what Christ calls us to do. So I want to make serving simple for us. And one of the most clearest examples of what the example that Christ set when it comes to serving are His own words in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Christ said, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." This is what Christ came to do, was to serve. I mean, think about that just for a moment. Like, think about who Christ is. He's the Son of God. He's the Creator of all things. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. He has been given a name that is above every name, and that at the culmination of history, every tongue, every knee will bow and confess that this Jesus is Lord. This Jesus, the Creator, God. And yet what did he do? He came not to be served, although he deserves the service because of who he is. But he didn't come to be served. He came to what? Serve. And so if Christ came to serve, and if he is the ultimate example, and as his followers, and he our teacher, we too should follow after him. And so again, simplicity when it comes to serving. In your notes, that first part. If you want to know why do Christ's followers serve, it's very simple. We serve because Christ served. Period. It's simple. We serve because Christ served. Just like last week we talked about how we give because Christ gave, we serve because Christ served. And there's an example in Scripture of one of the most clearest examples of what Christ did to serve us. Yes, he went and died on the cross. But even before the cross, Christ was teaching his disciples because he's getting ready to leave. He's leaving them an example that he wanted them to like burn in their memories and to practice and do. And you can find that example in John chapter 13, which is where we're going to be today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13. We have a lot of verses to walk through, and I'm just going to read those verses. They'll be up on the screen here. But I want us to look at the example that Christ set. And I want us to kind of glean some things from what John wrote about this, because he was an eyewitness. So he witnessed this. He experienced what we're about to read. And then I want to kind of just break down some lessons that we can learn from Christ when it comes to this command to serve and to teach others to serve. So if you have your Bibles, John chapter 13, we're going to go 1 through 17. So hang on, just fasten your seatbelts. But John chapter 13, 1 through 17, it says this. It says, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I'm just humbled right now in this moment at the fact, Lord, that you, the creator of the universe, came to be, not be served, but to serve. And here we are, Lord, some 2,000 years following your example in serving. Father God, help us to know and to understand exactly why it is you call us to serve. Help us to know and understand what it is you've called us to serve or who you've called us to serve. And Father God, I just pray that you would speak to all of our hearts today. That you would soften our hearts and our minds and our ears to receive from you today, Lord. And Father God, if there's anything in me, Lord, that would keep your word from going forth, Father God, I submit that to you, Lord, and just ask for your will to be done, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to serve you and to serve your people. We love you, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. John chapter 13, and I know the women are going to be doing a Bible study. They're going to be going through the last hours of Jesus' life, all the way from the upper room discord where he's with his disciples and they're getting ready to have communion and Jesus is washing their feet, all the way through he's out in the garden praying for his followers. So women, I would encourage you, for those that are able to do that, John 13 through 17 it's a powerful passage of scripture. And I would encourage anybody, if you wanted to spend any time and to really know the Father's heart for you and for the world and for his church and even for the lost, 13 through 17 is one of the most richest filling portions of scripture. So I would encourage all of you, but of course the women, sign up for that Bible study if you're able to. Now, in your notes, you'll notice there's a section there that just kind of has John 13, 1 through 17. I left that open for you because I just want us to kind of walk through a little bit of what we just read and to kind of take for yourself some things that maybe God might be speaking to you and just have an opportunity to write some of those things down. But first thing I want to talk about in John 13, verse 1 is this fascinating statement where John writes, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And what just stood out to me, what was fascinating, I really felt like the Lord speaking to me, isn't it amazing to know that at every moment, all times, never ceasing, Christ loves you. And he's going to love you to the end. Meaning even through the darkest times, through the end of the life moments, and anything even in between, Christ loves you. He will always love you. There is nothing that will keep his love from you. I thought that would be a good gentle reminder for us this morning as we're getting into this message. He loves you. And he'll love you until the end. There's never a moment where he will not love you. And I know some people struggle with that. I know some people doubt Christ's love, especially when times are hard. But I just want to encourage you this morning. He loves you, and he will love you until the end, and then forever. But now to the part about serving. Jump a few verses down in verses 13, or chapter 13, 4 through 5. Again, it says that he laid his outer garments aside, taking a towel and tied around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around them. There's a few things I want us to understand about this particular action, this service that Christ is about to do. And you need to understand ancient Jewish customs in order to really grasp what Christ is doing. Foot washing was the lowest of the low servant jobs. This was such a filthy disdain for the Jewish people that they themselves wouldn't even subject any Jew, regardless of stature, to go through this service. They would hire other people to do this. It is the lowest of the low jobs. And yet here is the creator of the universe stooping down to take on the worst job that a servant could have, willingly, and washing his disciples' feet. What does that tell you about our God? What does that tell you about his heart for us? We are just man. The psalmist said, Lord, who am I that you are mindful of me? Who are we that the creator of the universe would come down and wash our feet? I mean, sure, I would probably be one of the first in line to wash his feet. But if you know the stories, if you know the scriptures, do you know how many times Christ's feet was washed that we know of? Once. And it was with tears and a woman's hair. And Christ himself even calling out the religious elite, going, if you knew who I was, you didn't even offer me. And yet here she is preparing me for what I'm about to go through. I don't know if you've ever had your feet washed or if you've ever washed someone's feet, but it's humbling. And it is humbling to know that the creator of the universe took on the lowest job imaginable to set an example for us that we should follow. And he even lets his disciples know, because again, this would have been a shock to them. This would have been a shock to them to see their Lord and Savior getting down on his knees and washing his disciples' feet. Jesus himself says, a couple verses down in 7 and 8, what I'm doing, you don't understand it. And I'll be honest, when I read this sometimes, I still don't understand. Why would the God of the universe come down and wash his disciples' feet? But he says, but afterwards you will. Sometimes God does things that we don't understand, that we can't explain. But until we've gone through it, sometimes that's when understanding comes. And that was a lesson that his disciples needed to know. But Peter, I love Peter. I'm like Peter a lot. My mouth is shaped like a foot because I'm constantly putting my foot in it. But I just think Peter is such a real example of who we are as humans and who we are as his followers to really follow Christ. To follow Christ is to be human. In fact, he is a human. But I love Peter's response, you shall never wash my feet. And again, understand, this is a proper response from Peter, who is a Jew, who understands that this is not a good thing for Christ to do. And this would probably be my response if I ever had that opportunity. But Jesus answered, and this is astounding to me. Christ's answer, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. I want us to pause and just, I'm going to read that statement again. I just want us to pause and reflect on that, in the weight of that statement. If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Now, Christ will let us know it's not the foot washing that's going to make Peter clean. What is it that makes us clean? Washing of the sins by the blood of Jesus. In other words, it's not about what we do, it's about what he did. And I'm convinced there are people in this world who even claim to be Christ followers who are trying to earn their salvation. They're trying to do it on their own, by their own strength and by their own merit. And when we talked about surrender several weeks ago, we talked about how if we want to gain life, we need to lose our life. It requires surrender. And if you want to gain eternal life, it's not about what you do. It's about what Christ did for you. This is the lesson that he's teaching Peter. This is the lesson that he's teaching us 2,000 years later. It is not about what we do for Christ. It's about what he did for us. And even when it comes to this simple act of serving, as we'll see in a moment, it's not about you, but about what Christ has done for you. It's one of the most important lessons Christ is going to teach Peter and his disciples. He came to serve. He came to die on the cross so that we can have a relationship with him. So my encouragement to anyone out there who's trying to do this on their own, trying to strive and gain God's approval, stop. Just like I said, he loves you, and he will love you to the end. There's nothing you can do on this earth that will make God love you more. And there's nothing on this earth that you can do that will make God love you less, because he already loves you with the fullness of his love when his son died on the cross. So stop striving. Stop trying to gain God's approval. He loves you. What Christ did is and was enough. Let him wash your feet. Sorry, I'm going to get off my soapbox. And I love Peter's response after that. Well, don't just wash my feet, wash all of me. Little did he know that that's exactly what he was going to do when he died on that cross. Now, this is kind of where we shift to more of the application piece now. Again, Christ is going to let them know exactly why he's doing this. Jump down a few verses to verse 12. He said, when he had washed their feet and put on their outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? Now, I don't know if there was a pause or if this is just like one of those like kind of hypotheticals, like, do you understand what I'm doing? And then he, of course, he'll begin to tell us why. But I can't imagine what it was like for the disciples when he said, asked that question. I know for me, I'd just be like, no, I don't. I don't understand why. And Christ is going to tell us why. He says, you call me teacher and Lord. He says, you're right, because that's exactly who I am. That's exactly who Christ is. Christ is our teacher. We are his followers. He is our master. He is our Lord. That's who he is. That's who he is. But then he goes on to say, if I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. This is why Christ did what he did, to set the example of what it means to be his follower and to serve him and to serve others. And then he says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you see that truly, truly, this what Christ is saying, he's like, hey, look at me. This is one of the most important things I'm going to say to you. When you see those words back to back like that, he says, this is important. A servant is not greater than his master. We are not greater than Christ. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So essentially what Christ is saying is, you guys know that I'm Lord. You know that I'm your teacher. You know that you're not greater than me. But I want you to still serve how I served. I still want you to follow my example. And if you do so, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed. It's interesting when we think about Christ and his teaching ministry. Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon teaching of all time. How does it start? Blessed. We have the Beatitudes, right? Maybe we'll do a series on the Beatitudes. He starts with blessed. And then here's his final example that he gives us before he has his ultimate example on the cross. And how does he end it with? Blessed. It's like the culmination. It's like the bookends of his, the beginning of his teaching. And some 3 years, 3.5 years later, I'm done teaching now. I'm done teaching. It's an amazing thing to think about. But he says, blessed are you if you what? Do them. Interesting. We've been talking a little bit about that doing piece, haven't we? This was the example that Christ gave. The night in which he was going to be betrayed. That we are to also serve in the same way that he served. Now, is the lesson that we need to go and wash each other's feet? I don't think so. I don't think we need to all take off our shoes and socks. Half of you aren't even wearing socks. And we're just going to wash each other's feet. But I think there are some lessons from that that we can glean and learn from Christ's example when it comes to followers of Jesus and his call for us to serve. So we're going to talk about three things very quickly, very simply, some lessons about serving. And the first thing, first and foremost, the thing that I want us to understand as we're talking about the simplicity of serving, serving is simple. It's simple. And I want to read to you a passage of Scripture where Christ kind of lets his people know just how simple serving is. This is in Matthew 25. It won't be on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. And this is Jesus speaking. Matthew 25, 31 through 40. Christ says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" Verse 37, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and gave you food? Or when were you thirsty and we gave you drink? Verse 38, "When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Verse 40, "And the king will answer him, 'Truly I say to you, as you did to the one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me.'" Serving is simple. It's so simple. Giving someone a cup of cool water is serving. See, I think in the church we overcomplicate serving. I'm going to say something that, but I want you to understand my heart. We focus so much on, I need to know my giftings, and I need to know my Enneagram number or my Myers-Briggs, and I need to know all these things. And those things are helpful and they're useful because they help you get an understanding of how God has wired you, how he's created you. But sometimes we hold on to those things so tightly and so closely that if it's anything outside of those numbers or those whatever results, then I can't do it. Or I can't be effective. Or God's not calling me to that. Folks, serving is simple. It's as simple as giving someone a cup of cool water. And I think all of us are capable of doing that. So yes, understand how God has created you. Take the spiritual gift tests. Study for yourselves how God has gifted you and wired you in things. But don't let that limit you in what God wants to do through you. God is not a God that's inside of a box. Serving is not something that is done just inside a box. If God has called you to serve, then serve. It's simple. It's simple. Serving is simple. So serve. Another lesson, and this was a hard lesson for me. Lesson two, serving is enough. Now let me explain by this. Sometimes when we serve, we come with our own motivations. We have our own agendas. Or am I the only one? It's true. For many of us, we serve because we're trying to get something out of it. The good feeling of serving. Or I've known people who go out of their way to serve their neighbors, cut their lawns, or wash their cars because there's an opportunity there to share the gospel. But again, I want to make serving simple. Those are good things, and those are good motivators. But I want you to take those away for a moment. And just know that you're serving, when you're serving people, when you're serving God and His church and your community and your family, it's enough. You don't need to serve to try to get something out of it, even as something as important as trying to share the gospel. Because even if there was no opportunity for you to share the gospel, my question is to you, would you still serve? Serving is enough. It's enough. Don't go in with agendas. Don't go. Again, those are good things. Pray about those things. God, give me opportunity to share. But just let me serve because you served. Let me be the salt and the light. Let me be the example to this person or this group or this community that I'm about to serve so that you would be glorified. Just serving is enough. And for a lot of you type A people out there, it's enough. I promise you, it's enough. Yeah, Nick, but what? It's enough. No, but it's enough. Just serving is enough. It's enough. And lastly, I think one of the greatest lessons on serving is love. Serving is love. Later on in that chapter of John 13, Christ will then usher in His new commandment. And in John 13, 31 through 35, here's what Jesus says. It says, when He had gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also be glorified in Himself and glorify Him at once. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You will seek me just as I said to the Jews, so now as I am also with you. Where I am going, you cannot come. But a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. When we serve, and we do it with the right heart, knowing that, like giving, we're doing this for God and His kingdom. When we serve, we're doing it because this is the example that Christ set, and we are to follow His example. When we do it with those motives, we are showing the love of Christ to people. It is the ultimate example of love. Because you know, in our world today, love has 1,000 different million reasons and meanings. But this love that Christ is talking about, it's more than a feeling. It's an action. The agape love of God, it's an action. And you have heard this before, actions speak louder, right? When we serve, it's one of the most important examples of love that we can give people when we serve. It's one of the most important and best ways to really, in my opinion, share the gospel by the way we serve. Because again, we can tell people that Christ loved them and that he died for them. But we're like, yeah, the Bible says, but where's the proof? Where's the proof? And we've talked about this before. Christians are labeled as the most hypocritical people in the world because we say one thing and we believe one thing, but yet our actions sometimes show otherwise. Now, we're flawed people. We still sin. But again, I've said this before, the world is not concerned about what you know. It's about why you believe what you believe, and do you actually live it out? Do you actually live out what you believe? One of the best ways we live out what we believe is following Christ's example and serving. Paul will also remind us in his letter to the Galatians, real quick, in Galatians 5, 13 through 14, he reminds us that, for you were called to freedom. So brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, right? Serving is enough. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It requires serving. Now, this is not a message. I'm not asking everyone and saying, okay, so where are you going to serve next Sunday morning? Right? We need help in kids ministry, so everyone should serve in kids. No, that's not what I'm saying. When I'm talking about serving, yes, obviously it involves the church. We should be serving our body. But what I'm talking about is, how is God calling you to serve right where you're at, in the environment and circle that he's placed you? Because here is such a small reach inside these four walls. It's outside these walls where we will do our biggest impact. And we have people from all over this valley who come to this church. I live in Sultan. I know some come from Everett, like 30 miles down the highway. The point I'm saying is that God has placed you exactly where you are, with the family that you have, with the job that you have, in the community where you live, on purpose, for a reason. And that reason is to show the love of Christ. Yes, witness. Yes, share the gospel. But more importantly than that, start by sharing the love of Christ in how you serve. It's about serving your families. It's about serving your coworkers. It's about serving your neighborhood. It's about serving your community. And so quickly for the application, I want you to go home and I want you to begin asking yourself this question. God, who do I need to serve this week? Who do I need to serve this week? Again, serving is simple and it's enough and it's done out of love. God, who are you calling me to serve this week? Man, if it's your wife, serve your wife like Christ would serve her. Women, if it's your husband, serve them like Christ would serve them. If it's your kids, serve your kids like Christ would serve them. Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe it's your neighbor or somebody in your community. Maybe it's someone who God might put on your heart and you just need to reach out to them and just, I don't know. This is where it's between you and God. And I know some of you might be thinking in your mind, maybe God has already put someone in your heart. And maybe that person, you two don't really see eye to eye right now. Maybe you would even label that person an enemy. But I want to remind you of something. John 13, verse 2 says, during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist, and then he poured water into a basin to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Did you catch that? The devil had already put it in Judas's heart to betray him. And John tells us that Jesus knew this. Do you think Jesus still washed Judas's feet? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Again, Christ, the example he set, it's always above and beyond. Where he's constantly talking about how he didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill the law. It was written, but you've heard it say, but now I say to you, you've heard it said, hate your enemies. I say to you, love your enemies. And if you want to love your enemies to Christ, and if you want to love your enemies to Christ, the best way to do that is serve them. Pray for them and serve them. There's no agenda, we're just here to show the love of Christ. So yes, even if God puts on your heart somebody who you might label a Judas, remember Christ's example. He still washed Judas's feet, and he still calls us to live out that example and follow him. Who do I need to serve this week? Whoever it is that God has placed on your heart, just go serve. Keep it simple. Just go serve. Just go serve. And yes, of course, there's plenty of other opportunities. I would encourage you. Maybe God will put on your heart that there's something local in your community where God might call you to begin serving. Great. You know there's opportunities here to serve. Like right after service, we have Rescued Foods. And no, this is not a plug. Everyone should just go serve and Rescue Foods. But God's calling you to go serve, it is a great ministry, and it's a great opportunity to show the love of Christ by serving those who are in need. Remember that Matthew 25 passage. Lord, when did we do these things? When you gave someone a cup of cold water, when you gave them a meal, when you gave them clothes. What we're doing here at Mountain Valley Chapel is living out that example to follow Christ. But those opportunities only come once a week or a couple times a week or a couple times a month. You have your whole week, your whole days where God has placed you to be the light, to serve. God, who do I need to serve this week? Ask him that, and I promise you he'll begin to reveal to you. He'll begin to reveal to you who you need to serve. And my encouragement to you would be to serve, because that's what Christ did. Again, we'll close with this as a reminder. If I can find it. We serve because Christ served. And by serving, it shows others the love of God. Let's pray. Again, Lord, I'm just humbled to even think the fact that you, Son of God, as Philippians 2 says, humbled yourself, took on the form of a servant, not counting equality with you, God, to be something to be exploited, but you took on, Jesus, you took on the form of a servant, of a human, and humbled yourself even unto the point of death. You set the example, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you would, by the power of your Spirit, equip and enable all of us to serve how you served, to love how you loved, even if it means doing things that we might not consider to be the greatest things, like washing someone's feet. Maybe there are things out there, Lord, that we might consider less than because of status or thing, I don't know, Lord, but sometimes our own self gets in the way of what you're trying to do. Lord, would you eliminate those barriers and by the power of your Spirit, equip us to serve how you serve, even if it means going where no one else would go. Help us to have the same attitude. Help us to have the same mind that you had and to just serve and to give ourselves like you gave as a ransom for many, just to give ourselves. As we talked about last week, a way we can give is just by giving ourselves. So God, who is it that you've called us to serve this week? Give us the strength, give us the energy, give us exactly what we need, Lord, to go serve and to just serve because it's what you've called us to do. And Father, if there are opportunities for the gospel to go forth, and Lord, I pray that you would also give us the courage to share the gospel when you're prompting us to. Lord, this is about not what we get from you, Lord, it's about what you've done to us and about growing your kingdom, being a light in a dark world. Help us be that light in how we serve each other. And how we serve each other, Lord, as you said, people will know that we're your follower by the way we love each other. Help us to love well. Bring us back next week, Father God. We love you, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen.